Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary. I'm your host every Tuesday and Wednesday. It's a real privilege to be back with you once again and be able to share with you. This week, we're looking at a super practical theme, the Bible, personal spirituality, and the place of prayer. And today, we want to delve into that question that so many young people have asked me, does God always answer? This one is just so key to everything we understand about prayer. Now today, I have our regular Wednesday co-host with us, and that of course is Pastor David Butcher. And David's the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church right here in South Australia. And he's going to help us struggle with this theme and to share some of his own personal prayer experience. You'll love what David's got to share. Welcome to you, David.
Good afternoon, Gary, and hello, listeners.
I tell you what, David, this is an exciting theme.
It really is. Prayer is underutilized, underrated, and misunderstood.
It is. It is. Even, dare I say it, amongst Christian people.
Yes, absolutely. And often it plays a small part in our Christian experience.
Yes, yes, yeah. I mean, I've come across so many people who sort of see God very much as the Santa Claus type God. You know, I pray, God gives, and that's the end of the equation. But today we want to dig into that and say, is there more to it than that type of perspective?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Once again, however, before we go there, it is wonderful to welcome Pastor Glenn Townend to our program. Glenn's the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church right here in the South Pacific, and as such, he's the senior pastor to more than 600,000 people. That's quite some church. Now, as I understand it, Glenn grew up in Papua New Guinea and can even preach in Pidgin. Now, welcome again to you, Glenn.
Yeah, and very happy to converse with Pastor Johannes and Solomon in Talk Pidgin, and have done that many times, and also preached in some of the churches in the areas that they serve.
Would you like to just say hello to those people who may be listening to us and who do speak Pidgin? Would you just like to give them a big welcome to our Drive Time program?
Migat Bibla Hamumaslo, welcome him all together. We're Harim Displa Radio, we're Oli Harim Displa program, Oli call him Drive, na Pastor Gary Hodgkin, and we talk one time Mipla lo talk lo Baton Blongot.
Thank you so much, Glenn. I really do appreciate you being able to share that welcome. We have so many people coming into our studio who represent different cultures, and it's wonderful to be able to give a shout out to those different cultures. But Glenn, tell us before we do actually go to our question for the day. Now, I understand you're actually a bike rider. have you done any bike riding lately?
Look, I try and ride a couple of times a week, Gary, just to keep it's for my sanity and for my fitness. So when I get out on a bike, I can just let my mind kind of wander, just pay attention to the road and the traffic and let it wander. And then, it's good for me physically, for my health, so that's what I do. And then I do go on different sponsored rides. I'll actually be doing a ride in the United States just before the General Conference, where we'll be giving out health books, Your Bible and You, and The Great Controversy. Wow. To people on a route. For me, it'll be between Denver, Colorado, and St. Louis, in Missouri. I've done those kind of rides up in Brisbane, Melbourne, around Sydney.
So what sort of distance is that?
We usually do about 160 Ks on average a day, which is about 100 mile.
No, that's great. And to actually tie that together with a fundraising purpose or, you know, a literature distribution purpose is such a rewarding aspect of that ministry, isn't it?
No, we've had many interesting connections with people and have been able to actually pray with people that we've met along the road as we ride.
No, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Look, Glenn, this week we have, of course, been talking about prayer. And yesterday you shared how you prioritised prayer in your life and ministry. But look, let me just ask you a question. Does God always answer your prayers?
Well, I'm going to answer this way. The Bible is pretty clear that God always hears our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
1 Kings 8 and 9, Solomon prays in the temple and he says, God, you hear from heaven. The psalmists say, you know, God hears. In Proverbs it says, God hears the prayers of the righteous. Luke, who writes the Gospel of Luke and in Acts, a couple of times says, you know, God has heard the prayer. So I always believe God has heard our prayers. In fact, the best picture for me is in Revelation, where in chapter 4 and 5, we have a picture of God on his throne and the four living creatures and the 24 elders and all the angels around. But in chapter 8, it says the angels come with bowls of incense, and it says the bowls of incense are the prayers of God's people or those who pray.
It's a beautiful picture,
isn't it? They're right there before God, right there before the throne. So I feel confident that God hears my prayer. And I know God is a gentleman, so he'll always answer. Now, I don't always hear that answer, and I don't, or sometimes it may take a while for me to understand what the answer is, but I'm very confident that God hears, and that's why I keep praying. And I know that when he knows what is best for me, and I believe that, he will answer according to what is good for me.
Okay. That's a good answer, Glenn, because I would certainly agree with you that God always hears my prayers, because certainly in my prayer time, you know, I'm very conscious that is a reality that is actually occurring. But the problem is I've actually had, you know, young people, as you probably have as well, approach you, and basically they've said, hey, look, you know, I mean, what is this prayer thing? God never answers me, you know. I mean, how do you respond to that type of a statement?
Yeah, look, I would say usually what I would say to those kind of that kind of response is, well, maybe we need to learn how to listen to God, and what ways does God communicate?
Mm-hmm.
And just talking with a person earlier this morning, sometimes God communicates back to us through a still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'll be through a Bible verse.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it'll be through people.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it'll be through circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And how things work out. And so we, yeah, need to kind of be open for all of those kind of answers. And one of the answers could be no. And we would just have to, you know, accept that. But I believe God wants to develop faith in people, and I believe he will eventually answer people's prayer as they communicate. And I've had many people say, oh, yes, you're right. God did answer, but it took me a while to understand and connect. So it's a two-way street.
Yeah, yeah. No, I appreciate that. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, because I think that this is something that is vitally important in our prayer experience and our, if you like, in our learning to pray, because more and more I'm becoming convinced that, you know, this question of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, is something that is a very real need in the lives of many believers today, you know, because the, they accept the theory of prayer, and yet the practice of prayer is where the light really hits the road, you know, at that point. But look, Glenn, let me come to another question. Are there any occasions in your life when you can say, hey, God has responded in a remarkable manner that you've just had to stand back and say, oh, wow, what has God done?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, look, there are a number of times, and I'll just share one. I was going through a really tough time in ministry. I was doing my normal prayer walk early morning. I was away from home in an unfamiliar place. And as I was praying to God, I said, well, what I've been saying to you today is very similar to what I've said in the last few days. I don't want to bore you, God. I'm just going to change and spend some time in prayer and praise. Mm-hmm. You know, my prayer will now just be praise, and I just recognize who you are.
Yeah.
Because, I did want some answers.
Yeah.
But and when I started just praising God, and I'm not a good singer at all, yeah. but when I'm out in my own and nobody around, I'm happy to do praise God in song. Yeah. And I was doing that, and as I was doing that, it was like a bolt from heaven, but there was no voice, but it was kind of an electrified Bible text just came into my mind, and the Bible text answered the issue that I was dealing with, and I'm going, oh, wow, mm-hmm. why hadn't I thought of that before?
Yep.
And it came through the praise and the prayer and my seeking God. And I can say that that's happened a number of times.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's one. Another, our daughter Amy, eldest, she wanted children, married, but she went to her GP and then a number of specialists, three different specialists, gynecologists, oncologists, and she had a disease, endometriosis, and they basically said, you will never have children. There is no chance. Your reproductive parts are just... Yeah, she had different operations. It didn't solve it.
Yeah.
And yet she asked us to just pray with her and a few of her close family and friends. And I still remember the day that she was walking with me and my wife, and she said, Mum and Dad, I'm pregnant. And I just go, that can't be. I mean, you've told us and all the specialists, you said, well, I've done the test three times and you're the first people I'm telling. And we said, well, you better get to a doctor to confirm. And sure enough, it wasn't just one. Mm-hmm. She was pregnant with two.
Wow.
And since then, she's had another one.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of blew our minds that God had put a text in her mind that he was going to bless her with rivers flowing through her body. And she kind of thought, oh, yeah. And it wasn't one river, it was two and then three. So we kind of go, yeah, that's amazing. I've got many others with children, and just one in ministry. Last year I was part of PNG for Christ, which, you know, Pastor Johannes and Solomon have been talking about. The local people said it's time to make a call, and so I made a call. There was about 1,000 people present, and I made the best call I've ever made for people to accept Jesus and to come forward, and that's what they wanted to happen. And I did it for 5 minutes. Nobody came. And I'm hearing the people behind me praying, and I'm thinking, nobody's coming. Maybe I should just stop and pray. And so I did, and I prayed for a couple of minutes. Nobody came. And then I prayed for another minute, and one person was there. I prayed again and opened my eyes, and then there were 12 people there. And when I finally finished praying, and I wasn't appealing at all, I was just silent. And when I finished, there were 69 people who had come forward to accept Jesus.
Wow.
And it blew me away. And the local people, because they had response cards for 15 people. Wow. So they expected, if 15 people came, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
69 in the first call. Yeah. And I'm going, wow, God, prayer and your work. So, look, I could keep telling you lots of stories how God has answered in remarkable ways. Do they happen every day? No. Do they happen every week? No. But do they happen? Absolutely.
Yeah. And certainly right now, I mean, I'm just really conscious of the way that the Holy Spirit is actually working. Certainly in Papua New Guinea, there seems to be a decided outpouring at that particular, in that particular country at this point in time. But look.
And I can say in the area where Pastor Johannes and Pastor Solomon work, the people there were praying for the Holy Spirit, and it didn't matter whether it was a child, a youth, a woman, a man, a pastor. Every time you heard people praying, and they were praying all the time, they're always praying, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I believe God's heard that prayer.
Yeah, indeed. And that to me is the exciting thing. The Holy Spirit, on every occasion in Scripture, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, the Holy Spirit comes through the request of prayer. You don't find the two being separated. And to me, that is thoroughly exciting for the implications as far as the church is concerned. But Glenn, thank you so much for what you've been sharing with us today. We do need to let you get back to your office again, but really look forward to catching up with you tomorrow.
Hey, Gary, thanks, and God bless to all the listeners, and I hope you're challenged to try a little bit more in prayer.
Thank you so much. May the Lord bless you abundantly.
And that was Pastor Glenn Townend, and he was sharing on the subject his personal understanding of prayer. Really appreciate what Glenn had to share there. And, of course, Glenn is the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church right through the South Pacific, the senior pastor of almost 250,000 people. But, folks, look, let's come to some music. This is Evie and Pelle Carlson, and this is Nehemiah's Prayer. A beautiful song. Please enjoy this song.
We have not kept your commandments, nor the statutes or the judgments you have placed within our hearts. We confess
was Evie and Pelle Carlson, and that was Nehemiah's Prayer. Our theme, of course, this week is, in fact, the subject of prayer, and that's a beautiful song that certainly reflects on one of the significant prayers of the Old Testament. Now, folks, look, we do have a giveaway book for you this week. Now, yesterday, really appreciate those people who actually did request that this book. This will be coming to you directly. We are already working on packaging up those books. Now, look, this is one real ripper of a book, and this book's entitled Keeping Connection, Rediscovering the Power of Prayer. And this is why by Pastor Zuzai Hazoki. This is an introduction to prayer. Now, look, this is for those of you who may have let prayer fall by the wayside, or alternatively, maybe wanting to learn how to grow prayer in your own life. When we describe the Christian life as a relationship with the Creator, prayer is the connection that keeps this relationship alive, healthy, and growing. Just like a parent, relationship of a child and a parent, if there's no prayer, if there's no communication, then the relationship is going to die. Drawing from the Bible, personal experience, and communal life of the church, Keeping Connection reintroduces you to the life of prayer and its power to renew and transform your most important relationship. That, of course, is your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Now, this is one ripper of a book. It's called Keeping Connection. And look, if you would like your own copy of this book, it's totally free. Normally, this book is sold. It's still in the bookstores today, but we're giving it away. Look, if you want it, all you need to do is to request it via our text number. Now, our text number is 0488 808 11. That's our studio text number. You can actually send any messages to us on this studio text number, 0488 808 11. And in your text, all you need to do is to put in the code, and the code today is SA for South Australia, SA305, just five digits in a row. Please, whatever you do, don't put a gap between the SA and the 305, because this goes through to our robot. And our robot is one of those cheap robots, as we've said before. And he can't tell the difference between SA305 and SA with a gap and 305. So we do need you to put in that code SA305, just five digits in a row, and send that code to 0488 80811, and you'll be contacted by our robot. He'll ask you just a couple of questions, so that we can get this book to you in the fastest possible time. Your response won't be by a human voice; it'll be directly by text messaging only. So SA305 to 04888. 80811 is the number if you want to receive your free copy of that particular book. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And, of course, my co-host today is Pastor David Butcher, who's the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church right here in South Oz. And this week, of course, we're looking at a super practical theme: the Bible, personal spirituality, and the place of prayer. And today, we're digging into that subject: does God always answer? Now, in our studio, we've also got Pastor Johannes and with his wife Splendor. And Pastor Johannes is actually the president of the Eastern Highlands Mission in the Papua New Guinean country. And it is fantastic to have Pastor Johannes with us today. He's been with us certainly all weekend. He's been sharing with us some of the most remarkable stories of God's intervention in his country. And to me, I'm really conscious. In fact, I did give out a wrong number before. I said Pastor Glenn Townend was caring for 250,000 people throughout the South Pacific. Well, actually, I think there's 200,000 or very close to it in Pastor Johannes's area already. So it's actually about 600,000, I believe, all together. But David, look, if we can come to you first, because I want to pick up on this question, because I'm really conscious that certainly Pastor Glenn shared a little bit about on this question. But firstly, I suppose, can I ask you your personal prayer practice? What is your personal prayer practice?
Yeah, thank you, Gary. And this is a really crucial topic, isn't it? I guess from a very early age, I was blessed to see my father first thing in the morning when I got up. He was praying at a table. And then at night, you know, he would go to bed fairly early. And as I got older, I'd go to bed later. And he would kneel by his bed with a bed lamp on, like a side lamp. And he'd be kneeling by his bed praying.
Yeah.
And throughout, he's dead now, but throughout his life, and when I began ministry, he would be a constant source of, hey, I've got this prayer list happening.
Yeah.
What do you want me to pray for? And we saw amazing things, my wife and I. And when he passed away, we noticed almost instantly spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
You know, a great prayer warrior. So for me, it's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daily blessing and discipline. And I guess often we talk about discipline and it's a negative thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it having that consistency of praying daily.
So you pray early in the morning. Is that your preference?
Yeah, absolutely. Because for me, my mind gets easily distracted.
Yes.
And so in those early morning hours, before other people are up, when there is stillness and quietness,
my mind
works best. And you know, that's the daily practice. And so for me, even, you know, some people pray in their mind, some people pray aloud, and there are times when I do both. But for me, often, my mind can wander at times, and even in prayer. And so for me, praying personally by myself early in the morning and quietly just speaking the words helps me to stay focused in prayer.
Okay.
But prayer is, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And so throughout the day, I'm praying as well, either audibly and verbally with people or in my own mind when I'm confronting a challenging situation and I don't know where to turn or how to respond or asking God for words. It's this, I'm not verbalizing it, but they're thoughts in my head. I'm saying, God, help me. Give me something to say here. Help me to understand how to comfort this person or help me to deal with this challenging situation.
That's so important, isn't it? Because we tend to rely on our own skills. I mean, it's very possible, certainly for a pastor who's been to college for 4 or 5 years and, you know, they basically become professional prayers, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you just simply rely on your own skills rather than the power of the word.
Yeah, and let's remember, prayer is connection with Almighty.
Yes.
Prayer is connecting sinful human beings with the Creator.
Yes, yes.
And there are clearly processes to put in place, you know, and making sure we've confessed our sins and asking God to be with us. And it's that connection we grow.
Well, let me just ask you something there, David. Does God always answer your prayers? Because, you know, I've actually had young believers say to me, look, I pray, but God does not answer my prayers. Now, how would you respond to that? I asked Pastor Glenn this response, and he certainly gave a full response there. But how would you respond to that?
Yeah, so if I'm asking to win Tats Lotto or win lots of things like that, that may not be in my best interest.
Yeah.
A parent, an earthly parent, doesn't grant every request or demand that a child makes. Why? Because some of those requests or demands the child doesn't realize will not be beneficial for them. And so the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So God has good intentions for us.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's best. He's our Heavenly Father. And there are some prayers that God definitely answers. And I remember as a child, we lived on a busy road on a sharp bend and traffic, and a car had flown through our neighbor's fence one day and almost landed in our lounge room.
Yep.
And I wanted a bike, and we didn't have a lot of money, but I think my mum could have easily afforded a bike. And she said, no, she was a bit of a worrywart. She said, no, it's too dangerous. Steep hills and dangerous roads, no, you can't have a bike.
Yes.
And she said, no, we don't have the money. Well, I said, I'm going to pray about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was probably about 9 or 10 years of age.
Yeah.
And so I prayed, and you know, God wants us to have a childlike faith. And I prayed and I prayed. There's a knock on our door about 2 days later, 3 days later, and I rushed to the door, and it was a neighbor up the street.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum got there first, and someone that we would see every now and again, but it wasn't any significant friendship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this lady said, this neighbor, 3 or 4 doors up, said to my mum, look, my son's left home and I've just been clearing out the shed and there's a bike in the back shed. Would your son like it? Literally within 2 or 3 days. And before my mum could say no, I literally pushed between my mum and the front door and I said, of course. And I said, you know, I've been praying for this. Now, I had another experience, and there are so many. I had another experience. My best friend was my cousin.
Yeah.
And he was an only child. We did everything together. We went to school together. I employed him in a business I was working in. We spent weekends together. We were like twins.
Yeah.
And only child, and he developed a brain tumor, had grand mal epilepsy, a tumor the size of a man's clenched fist, and he had decided not to have invasive surgery.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where he was almost passing out with pain, passing blood, couldn't take food. Went into the hospital, and they basically said to him, they said, if we do surgery, you've got 4 months to live,
yep.
4 to 6 months. If we don't do surgery, you'll be dead in 4 weeks.
Okay.
And he opted as an only son, he was 25, to not have surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was praying and praying and praying, and I didn't want to have any doubt. I wanted to believe in all faith that God would heal him and restore him. And I was praying in faith, or I thought was faith. And guess what? 4 weeks went by. 8 weeks went by. 4 months, mm-hmm. he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I was questioning God and saying, God, you know, I've had faith. I've prayed. And I was believing that you would heal him. And I struggled with that. Only child, my best friend, all of this. 2 years later, I'm studying to become a minister.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me that God had answered the prayer, but not in the way that I wanted. And so this is a key point.
Yeah.
God answers prayers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's wait, and sometimes he answers with a no, but even the no is for our best interest. And what I understood was, when he left hospital, when they gave him 4 weeks to live with no invasive surgery, he lived 4 months.
Yeah.
But when he left hospital, he entered with pain, passing blood, couldn't eat, couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
He left and he was fully in control of his bodily functions.
Yes.
He could sit in a shower and have the dignity of showering himself and toileting himself. Yeah. He would slowly walk in the mornings a distance, quoting scripture.
Yeah.
And when he lost, the pain went.
Yeah.
And he died after 4 months. And 2 years later, I reflected and I thought, God, you did answer the prayer. You took all pain away. You did do a miracle.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
wasn't the miracle I wanted, but you know best.
Yeah.
And so I learned from that point that it takes more faith.
Mm.
Instead of demanding God to do something, we should ask God to do what we desire, but we need to leave it in God's hands because he's an almighty loving God. He loves me more than I love me. He loved my cousin more than I love my cousin. God knows what's best.
In fact, that's what Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane.
He did. And so in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times he goes away from his disciples to pray. And it says here, again, a second time he went away and prayed. This is between him and the Father in heaven, before the cross.
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, my Father, if the cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And essentially he's saying to God on the ground in agony,
yes,
praying, pouring out his heart to his Father. He's saying, look, if there's any other option, if there's any other way that humanity can be saved without me being crucified, because he knew the future.
Yeah.
And then let that happen.
Yeah.
But then he says, but not what I desire, but your desire comes first.
Yeah.
And so he goes, so God, he put before God what he wanted, but he said, not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
In other words, it takes more faith to not demand of God. It takes more faith to put our trust and say, God, this is what we want, but you know best, I'll trust you.
And the Apostle Paul is very clear, the just shall walk by faith.
It's true. And so another case of God not answering prayer in 2 Corinthians 12, in fact, is the Apostle Paul. He was a great author, a great preacher, a powerful man. And he says this, he says, 2 Corinthians 12, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. In other words, unless I should be proud.
Yep.
He says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. In other words, this persistent thing, this issue.
Yes.
He says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure, lest I become proud, in other words. And then he says, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might leave me. And God replied, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Mm. And Paul then responds, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So God did not remove whatever it was that was hindering Paul. God says, I'm with you.
Indeed. Indeed.
Now, Abram was 75, and God promised that through him the whole world would be blessed, descendants and nations. It was 25 years before that prayer was answered with the birth of Isaac. So God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says wait, other times he says no because he knows what's best.
Thank you so much for that, David. Really do appreciate what you've shared. But Pastor Johannes, if I can come to you at the present time, because I'm just really conscious, there's just another aspect of this I'd just like to pick up, and I'd really appreciate your feedback on it. Do you think that there are blockages to prayer being effective? Are there things in my life that might stop prayer from being effective?
Yes. Pastor Gary, there are some things that Bible explains clearly that we have some blockage to being prayers being answered.
Mm-hmm.
Examples that we can read in Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. It's clear.
Mm.
If we have any sins, unconfessed sins, and if we ask God, our prayers will not be effective.
Okay.
Because we have sin in our lives that are blocking the answers to what we want or what we need. And further in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek God or seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. I will forgive their sins and heal their land.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear.
Yes.
If God's people, if they want their prayers to be answered, they have to put away selfish motives.
In other words, this is like a stream that's flowing crystal clear. But if there's weeds in the stream, and you want the stream to flow, you have to remove the weeds.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. This is something I think that. Do you think many Christians, realize this reality?
No. Some Christians, they do know that sin will block, and they make way to remove. Some people, they don't understand. So they keep on doing that, and their spiritual life is not very powerful.
Okay.
Because of the blockage in their prayers.
And I think this is why certainly the New Testament talks about if I confess my sin, he will respond, he will listen, he will forgive. And, it's so important to actually be putting that sin aside before I actually come to God with my requests, with my thoughts, with my concerns. And of course, putting aside is more than just a matter of saying, Lord, forgive me now, and then this afternoon I go and do the same thing again. This is something where there is a decided change. I'm interested as well that if we go to the Lord's Prayer, you get in the Lord's Prayer, you get this Christ teaching his disciples to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Correct.
Do you think that's important?
Very important. Somewhere in James, the Bible says, the prayer of the righteous is very effective and very powerful because there is no blockage to that prayer.
Yes.
But if we have any blockage and if we don't ask God to forgive, then our prayers are not effective because we have some blockage.
Yeah, and of course, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit only comes as a result of prayer, and if, in fact, there's a blockage in the system, we actually block ourselves from receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
But look, let's come to some music, and then we're going to come back because I notice our time is starting to already run away from us. This is a really good friend of ours, Jeremy, and she's singing Someone Is Praying For You. Please enjoy this really beautiful song.
Someone is praying for you. But it seems that you've prayed till your strength is all gone, and your tears fall like raindrops all the day long. He cares and he knows just how much you can bear. He'll speak your name to some.
Beautiful song was Jeremy Heitman. She was singing "Someone Is Praying for You." And folks, look, if you would like somebody to pray for you, please be aware that by texting us at our studio text number, that will actually also go through to our prayer team in Melbourne. And if you've got a prayer request, we have lots of requests every day coming through, and that is faithfully distributed to our prayer team, and they are happy to pray for your particular need. So if you don't need to give us names, anything like that, even contact details, just let us know of something that I would like to have me pray for some situation, and we're more than happy to actually do that. Now, folks, look, our giveaway for today is the book Keeping Connection. Now, this is a really beaute book. This is Rediscovering the Power of Prayer. When we describe the Christian life as a relationship with our Creator, prayer is the connection that keeps this relationship alive, healthy, and growing. Drawing from the Bible, personal experience, and the communal life of the church, Keeping Connection reintroduces the reader to the life of prayer. Now, look, if you maybe have let your prayer life slide a little bit, if you've never been in the habit of prayer, if you're just wondering, how do I pray, then this is the book for you. You will love this particular book. Now, look, if you would like to get your own copy, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 0488 808 11. That number again is 0488 808 11, and the code is just 5 digits in a row, SA 305. Just text us that number, and that'll actually go through to our robot, and he'll respond to you by text. No one's going to talk to you, and he'll ask you for a few details so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. You will love this particular book. That number again is 0488 808 11, and the code is SA 305. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And my co-host today is Pastor David Butcher, who's the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church right here in South Oz. And we've also got with us Pastor Johannes from the Eastern Highlands of Papua New Guinea, who's ministered for more than 35 years and has personally witnessed a recent amazing outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I'm going to come back to Pastor Johannes again, because I'm conscious that our time is starting to slip away from us. Pastor Johannes, you did actually share during the break, and I think this is really worth sharing with our listeners, a promise in the Word of God that talks about prayer. And, you know, we were talking about the inhibitors, but conversely, there is this promise. What was that promise again?
Well, Jesus said, if you ask me anything in my name,
yes,
I will do it. John 14:14.
Okay.
We claim that promise. And also another promise in Acts, he says, before you go out, before the Holy Spirit will come, you have to stay together and pray and ask God mm-hmm. for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So when big program like PNG for Christ, when we first heard that, It was coming. We had that in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We start praying for the Holy Spirit
yes.
from year 2020 up to 2024.
So you were praying for 4 years for this PNG for Christ program that's only just recently concluded.
Correct. We were praying for 4 years. And when it comes to 2023, we said we have to start from January to December. Everyone to go on their knees, starting from 4 a.m. and finishes at 6 a.m.
Every morning.
Praying, every morning, praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
To unloose the those who are in certain prison, so that physically, when this program comes on, They can come out and give their lives to Jesus. So it was prayer who plays a very important role in the baptism of the 50,000 in Eastern Islands and another 100,000 throughout Papua New Guinea. It was not on our own strength, but it was the power of prayer.
That is a remarkable result, because to me, when you have a church district that's got 100,000 church members in it, we many of us certainly in this country are happy to sit down and say, well, you know, the Lord has worked abundantly. We're happy to have, you know, small increases every year, maybe, you know, 500 or 1,000 people. But you said, I want us to be praying continually for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then in 12 months, 50,000 people come and join the 100,000 that are already there. This is something that, to me, as I look at this, Pastor Johannes, I say, hey, this is not a human-inspired result. This is something that comes only as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
It was Pentecostal experienced.
Yeah.
We experienced Pentecostal. We pray, and God just heard our prayers, outpours the Holy Spirit, and many preachers who went, they preach in English, but our people, they understood simple in their own language.
In Pidgin?
In Pidgin.
You know, to me, I've actually heard many, many, many accounts of this actually taking place, and it really helps me understand the gift of tongues in the New Testament, because certainly in the New Testament, in the early book of Acts there, what it says is that every man heard in his own language. And what you're saying is that in Papua New Guinea, exactly that happened. The speaker is speaking in English, but the congregation is able to hear in their native tongue.
Correct.
That is something that is so we in this country would call that absolutely remarkable. Some would say it's impossible, but I'm certainly, you know, I'm conscious of how many people have recounted that story to me. And it's not just one preacher that that has occurred with, or an individual, but certainly a multiple number of individuals. Look, our time is up. I'm just wondering, can we just let's just pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I want to say thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your promises, exceedingly great and precious promises that are given to us in the word of God. Lord, I just want to pray right now for our listeners. Lord, if there's somebody right now who's struggling, maybe with a health issue, Lord, maybe it might be with some relationship matter. Maybe it might be with some financial concern. Lord, I just want to pray right now that if this is troubling that individual, that indeed you might answer even the unspoken prayer that is in their mind. Lord, you are the all-powerful God. We believe in prayer. And I pray that you might reveal yourself to those who are listening to this program. We just pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Pastor David and Pastor Johannes on Drive Time, Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when Pastor Fabiano and Pastor Finney will be asking, is prayer a get-out-of-jail-free card for the believer? Really look forward to your being with us. But until then, please remember Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.